Discussion with Ajahn Suchin at the Foundation in Bangkok. 3rd December 2000. Participants include Michael J., Ivan, Jack, and Suchin.
Can there be the moment of understanding reality, not just in terms of nama and rupa and conditions and paccaya, because now everything is dhamma? It has its own characteristic. For example, visible object is real and it appears now, and seeing sees. How can there be the understanding of these two realities at the moment of seeing? This is my question. We are sitting in this room and we all understand that everything is dhamma. For example, visible object is appearing and seeing is seeing the visible object. How can there be the understanding of these two realities as they are at this very moment?
When sati arises, right now.
We do not talk about theory anymore, because we all know about sati and all jetasikas. But at this very moment of seeing, how can there be the understanding of reality?
I have to think back to theory and say it's when panya is there.
Because some people think that they have to practice and they have to go somewhere, the meditation center or something like that.
Yes.
But now we are here.
Yes, yes.
And can there be the understanding of reality?
Yes, I can. Yes, I agree with that.
Yes, how?
By paying attention to the six sense doors.
That is the self?
Yes.
Who is paying attention? So that's not aware.
Well, I'm not sure if it's a self. Isn't it just sati? Or seeing the colour that is there. That's another thing. I mean, it's a whole series of moments.
It doesn't mean that when you have intention to have sati, and then you think I'm paying attention to that object, and you take it for sati.
Yes.
But it's not.
There's intention to look at the flower.
Uh-huh. It's then, intention.
Yes, that's one thing. Then second, or many other things later, there is seeing color.
Right.
That's another thing.
Because seeing arises when there are conditions for seeing right now. That is seeing. So it's so common.
Yes.
Seeing common is a moment of citta and jetasika.
But before the intention to see, there was something that prompted the intention to see. So
is vipaka. It's not the self who can make it arise at any time.
Yeah. It's all arising from conditioning.
Well, point to the moment that's self that you're talking about. Is it intention that's self?
No, there's no self involved in it.
Well, so there's only conditioned...
Yes, only conditioned.
Jetasikas and chittas, jetasikas.
Yes, that's right.
But when there is no understanding with awareness that it is only a reality, which we may call it jetasika, but how can we know that as reality?
How can we know the jetasikas?
The intention as jetasika or as a reality.
When there's intention arising, sati will know there's intention.
And when sati is aware, or when there is no sati, because if there is no sati, there cannot be any understanding.
Yes, that's right.
So whenever sati arises, it is aware, not you.
Yes, that's
whenever
right.
Whenever it arises.
I agree, yes.
So now it depends on whether sati arises or not.
Yes.
Not I intend to look or to pay attention to it.
And the way I understood the practice of the meditation,
I think that now we don't talk about any...
Okay.
System of this or that place.
Okay.
We are talking about the fact or the truth of how can there be the understanding developed at the moment of seeing.
Yes, when sati is there.
So, how can one know that sati arises or sati does not arise? How can there be that understanding? Because sati is not concentration.
No.
Sati is not attention either.
No. And it will arise or not arise, it's...
Not at will.
Not at will, no.
By what? Because if there is no theoretical understanding or intellectual understanding at all, how can there be conditions for right awareness to arise and be aware? Mm-hmm. of reality as not self, because yes. It's very difficult to understand that there is no body in this room. There is only whisper object appearing. And the development of understanding would develop the elimination of wrong view from anything which appears. It's not the moment of trying to experience the arising and falling without any understanding or without any elimination of wrong view at all from seeing, hearing, smelling, from all realities which appear in one's life. Otherwise, it's the fake one. Because right understanding has to develop stage by stage, little by little. It's like holding the knife handle, or in one sutta it talk about the ship on the beach, and one day it will wear away. It takes time. So by seeing reality as something all the time in one's life, before there can be the moment of directly experiencing the arising and falling away of reality, no matter it's through eyes or ears or nose or tongue, there must be the elimination of the idea of self by developing understanding, by sati arising, not by one's will, but by conditions, from moment to moment, to eliminate the idea of I who is aware. Otherwise, it is I all the time when you talk about paying attention or being aware of a thing. It is I all the time. But how can there be the eradication of I from everything at moment of seeing, hearing, and smelling? So it's not limited to any place or any time, but it's the moment of developing understanding. And there cannot be right awareness if there is no intellectual understanding of what is the difference between awareness and concentration and attention. And the other realities. So it's the matter of developing understanding now by listening, considering, to really understand the characteristic of reality. But if there is no right understanding of this moment at all, it's impossible to go somewhere or to concentrate or to pay attention and try to see it as you have heard. But it's not the development of each moment with right awareness, not with the idea of self.
And that's the theoretical part that will give you the right understanding little by little until the panya progresses. And that panya that can be conditioned for the sati to arise. And sati is not self, sati is a chetasika.
It's this moment, how much one knows about reality. By what? It's not by thinking or not by reading only, but by understanding the way to develop the understanding of reality. And it's so firm and so sound that no matter where you are, right understanding is there when it's developed. That is pala.
It just came to my mind that we all accept that nothing is in our hands, that phenomena arise and fall without anyone's control, everything is anatta.
About restraint and about vinaya and this, the role of restraint of the six senses. We should guard the six senses. The Buddha said we should guard the six senses. Could you explain about how this is different to intention?
Not by oneself.
No.
When one reads sutta, it seems like Buddha told us to do this or that. But what about Abhidhamma? He just pointed out what's the cause and what's the result. So even the sila, we all know about sila. But what about daily life? How many sila does one have? And he also taught us about the sila indriya sangvara, the sangvara of the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, and mind. Sangvara is another word for sati. So if one does not know it is I who is, who have indriya sangvara, but actually it's only the moment when sati arises and when there is awareness of the true nature of reality, a characteristic which appears, that is sangvara. No matter it's chakku sangvara or sota, eyes or ears. So by understanding the anattaness of realities, it helps one to understand that all dhammas are anatta. Otherwise, one read that dhammas are anatta, but what about trying to do something with the idea of self? It's against the understanding of anattaness. And right understanding can grow by hearing, reading, considering what's right and what's wrong. For example, if that would be the understanding of reality, when? The question is when? Yesterday, tomorrow, or now? See? The understanding of reality must be only when that reality is appearing.
You just read the sutta without Abhidhamma, and that can lead you to wrong understanding, you know, of self a lot.
And that's why we do not encourage anyone to turn away from reality of this moment.
For beginners like me, it's, the suttas are interesting too, and I learn a lot from that. I just want to see, maybe can come back to this. In this development of wisdom that takes such a long time, according to the theory, that it takes such a long time. Isn't that necessary because we have to build kusan, tsongsan kusan, we have to build kusan, kusala? I mean, to be born as a human being, we have to have kusan, sankuson, satsang.
Yes, but one should know what for.
It's the purpose
of developing kusala, because one realizes that if one still have a kusala a lot in a day, so how can that a kusala be eliminated so quickly or rapidly? It's impossible.
No, I agree. I'm not trying to argue about it being rapid or quick, but in states of relative ignorance, mostly ignorance that we are in, like I am in mostly ignorant states. So then,
don't you think that everyone is like that?
Yes, sure, sure. Well, I don't want to speak for others. I just can speak for myself. This is not the parliament. So I just wanted to say that when we have this, we practice restraint. In ignorance, think I am practicing restraint. I am practicing sila.
Is it the middle path or the middle way?
How can one have
the restraint first, what about together at the same time? Because the Eightfold Path or the Fivefold Path comprise all this.
Yes.
Sila, Samadhi, and Panya. You don't have to have Sila first?
No, they arise at the same time.
Yeah.
Because when you know that if you protect yourself, you're going to have less danger.
Yeah, but what about you try so hard to restrain without any understanding at all? But when there is understanding, you know before anything would happen, because you know even the tiny one, the small one, the little one of akusala, much better than let it grow so that you try to restrain.
It seems to me that we sit and wait for panya to arise passively.
No. Just sit and passively have panya arise.
Maybe I don't understand this point very clearly. I have to do some more studying.
But what's about the meaning of anatta-ness?
Yes, no self.
Yes. So it means that anything which arises is conditioned.
Yes, and the reading books, the intention to read a book or to try to understand Dhamma is...
And one can see that intention is not any of the factor of Eightfold Path at all.
Yes, yes.
So...
So reading books won't give you any wisdom.
I mean intention.
So how did
Eightfold Path or the Fivefold Path? We have to know exactly what they are. Is there any intention included?
No.
So why do we have intention and we think that is the path?
No, it's not the path.
So
intention isn't the path, but intention arises and then we do something.
It arises in every citta, each moment.
Yes. Yes. So we...
One doesn't have to do anything. For example, when it's said in Tipitaka about the kwam pien viriya, one thinks that one should have effort. But it's there. Just understanding that it's not you, but it's there, which have that function. And for sati, it's there, not you. Whenever sati arises, it performs its function. Other cetasika cannot perform the function of sati at all. So just by developing understanding to see all dhammas as dhamma, and intention is not, has nothing to do with the Eightfold Path. So if anyone tries and tries so hard to, with intention to have right understanding, is wrong, it's impossible.
Is it only thinking, Ajahn? Thinking? And that sort of intention is thinking?
Intention arises with each moment.
No, but I'm saying if we think that we are going to do something, then this is not intention, it's thinking.
But intention is there.
Yes, but...
there must be intention all the time.
I know, but the idea that we will do something
is
thinking.
With intention to do.
Yes, with intention as well.
Yeah.
I'm saying, oh, you can't intend to sit down and wisdom will arise from sitting down. But that's like the same, we can't sit and read a book and expect wisdom to arise from sitting reading a book.
Are you not sitting right now?
Yes.
So it's exactly the same, no matter where you sit, here or there. It depends on awareness and right understanding.
Yes.
But not depending on sitting.
No, no, it's true. And that's, it's whatever position, the iriyabodhi, the four.
It depends on the object which appears, whether there is any understanding of it.
Yes.
And how can there be the development of understanding it as it is, as not self?
Yes.
The seeing right now and the visible object which appears, the sound and the hearing. How can there be the development of understanding? Because it's impossible to just having understanding right away without listening, without considering, without having thinking over and over it again and again to really understand. Mm.
You're saying that it is taught in the Tipitaka to come and sit in meditation?
Yes.
Is it true?
Yes.
Where is it in Tipitaka? Because the four mindfulness satipatthana starts with Kayanupasana satipatthana, Vedananupasana satipatthana, Cittanupasana satipatthana, and Dhammanupasana satipatthana. Anything.
I think I have to write this all down, and I will do the research and find the right suttas and so on.
Right now, because the words of Buddha must agree with reality of this moment.
Yes.
So at this moment, there is seeing. When we talk about seeing, we don't have to sit or stand or walk. Seeing is seeing. It's a kind of reality which can experience an object, not self. The perfect understanding or the highly developed one will understand the tattu, the element of seeing, as the nama, the mental phenomena, which is not the rupa. And that's the way to eliminate the idea of self from the seeing and the visible object. Even right now, there must be the moment of beginning to understand or being aware just a little, because we are sitting and there is seeing all the time. It depends on awareness when it arises. There is understanding at that moment that it's the moment with awareness, different from other moments without awareness. So this is the beginning. Otherwise, it's just thinking that there is awareness while one is sitting. But what about this moment, the characteristic of awareness which arises and is aware? Anytime, any place. Not sitting.
But I haven't finished exploring meditation, and I haven't... As some people here have done that and decided that it doesn't lead anywhere, and I haven't found that yet. Samatha, not going into jhanas. I'm not doing that. No, I wouldn't advocate that to anyone right now, unless they wanted to have superpowers and they live in the forest for 40 years or something.
How do you know who's the expert one?
At the time of the Buddha.
Yes, but today's.
From reading the Tipitaka, there's the names in there.
Today, is there any expert? Like that.
See, it's hard to tell. How to tell who's the good teacher or the bad teacher? Yes, I don't know.
Is there anywhere? Taught by Buddha, how to know who's wise and who's right and who's wrong?
Yes, there's some guidance in the Tipitaka
choose. How can one know who's wrong and who's right?
If their teaching is, I think there was four guidelines. I quoted this in a recent email, but I can't remember them. If it's in accordance with the Tipitaka,
just talking to him.
Yes, yes.
Very easy.
Yes. And we did that sutta at the Kunnaparat's house about the ten views.
Yeah. No, this is how to know who has morality and who has concentration and who has right understanding.
Yes.
To know who has the sila or morality, one has to live with that person, not in a few days, but for a long time. And that person must be wise enough to know. Because there can be some pretense for days and or months. And for concentration, when the danger comes, one can know how that person has concentration enough. And for understanding, in order to know who understands, more or less, that must be the just talk to him and ask and ask and ask, keep on asking, not just by looking.
Yes, that's what I'm doing here. I've been taking up everyone's time.